We'll hear arguments next in Birch against Louisiana. Mr. Peebles, I think you may proceed when you're ready.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, this case is here by way of certiorari to the Supreme Court for the state of Louisiana. The question involved is whether the Louisiana constitutional provision for trial by jury of six persons in certain criminal cases, with five required to deliver a verdict, meets or offends the Sixth and Fourteenth Amendments to the Federal Constitution. In the Louisiana Constitution of 1974, which is now in service, we have three categories for criminal juries. In capital cases, 12 out of 12 are required for conviction. In cases requiring hard labor, 10 out of 12 are required for conviction. And in lesser felonies, such as the one in this case, where the judge may impose hard labor but does not necessarily have to, you have a jury provision of six persons, five of whom must concur in any verdict.
Including a not guilty verdict, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
One of the six could be for a finding of guilty, but if the other five are for a finding of not guilty, that's the verdict.
That's correct, Your Honor. Now, in this case, the defendant Daniel Birch and Russell Incorporated, the corporation involved, were each convicted on two counts of obscenity under the state obscenity statute. Specifically, they were alleged to have shown obscene movies in a Cohen-operated machine in downtown New Orleans. There were two charges, two convictions, and Birch was convicted and sentenced to 2 7-month terms of imprisonment, which were suspended. He was fined $1,000. The corporation received a $600 fine on each count.
Are you now making any point about the corporation here?
Yes, Your Honor. We are submitting that their case should be considered along with Birch's.
Why?
The only rationale we can present to the court as to why their case should be considered is that they were tried under the same statute. By way of analogy, we would submit that Duncan versus Louisiana shows an analogous situation. There, if the court will recall, this court determined that for the first time that a defendant was entitled to a jury in a serious criminal case. In Duncan's case, the maximum sentence that could have been imposed under the statute was 2 years. In fact, Duncan was only sentenced to 60 days. But and at argument, the...
Here the vote was 6-0.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, on the corporation...
That's correct. And I'm saying it by analogy, as in Duncan, the case of Duncan. There, the state of Louisiana argued that since Duncan, in fact, received a sentence which was not, in legal terminology, a serious sentence, he should not be permitted to argue his case. Nonetheless, the court did reach the merits on that case. That's the only analogy that I can think of which would support this court's entertaining the argument of Russell Incorporated here.
Under your theory, then, anyone who is convicted in Louisiana under this particular section of the Constitution, even though by a unanimous six-man jury or six-person jury, would be entitled to be freed?
I don't know that the decision would have to be retroactive, but I think they could have raised that point under that argument. Yes, Your Honor. However, there's no question but that Birch, who was convicted by a 5-1 vote, is properly here. Whether or not Russell should be considered by this court. Our argument is essentially that the combination of the non-unanimity and the reduced panel offends the Sixth and Fourteenth Amendments. Now, this court has said in Williams versus Florida that 6 out of 6 is constitutional. Said that in 1970. And in Ballou versus Georgia, you said that 5 out of 5 offends the Sixth and Fourteenth Amendments. Now here we have a case where you have 5 out of 6, and the court must decide whether that model offends the Sixth and Fourteenth Amendments. I think it goes without saying that many of the arguments that we might use would apply to the Ballou decision, 5 out of 5, and many of the arguments that the state might make might apply with equal vigor to the Williams versus Florida decision regarding 6 out of 6. I don't know of any case in which the court has decided that issue, Your Honor.
Well, I'm talking about this very case.
In this case, Your Honor, the Constitution...
Well, if you'd gotten 6 out of 12, you'd get the same as if you got 6 out of 6?
You still have 6 people voting to convict, or to acquit. That's correct, Your Honor. But that's not required by the statute
in
this case.
Find out whether you're arguing about figures or unanimity.
Well, here you have both aspects, the non-unanimous character of the Louisiana statute and the fact that only 6 are required to constitute the jury with only 5.
You think that's still open, the 6-man jury for...
No, no. If that was foreclosed by Williams versus Florida, this court has said that the 6-man jury with a unanimous verdict is constitutional. Yes.
So you're not arguing that?
No, sir. In Williams, however, the court did indicate that it preferred the unanimity factor. In the court's statement at that time, in the opinion, you said that you did not feel that there were any major reasons why the 6-man jury would not be constitutional as contrasted with the 12-man jury, particularly if the jury was required to come back with a unanimous vote. Well, of course, we don't have a unanimous vote here. So the question arises, if you don't have a unanimous vote, does that then change the character of this body, which we call a jury, so that the essential features of the jury and its classical institutional form are inhibited? We submit that it does.
When you say classical form, traditional form, what do you mean by that? 12?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Do you mean 12?
No, Your Honor, I was referring to the purposes for the jury that the court has previously indicated, requiring adequate deliberation, a cross-section of the community, that sort of thing. I think the question that this court must decide is whether the non-unanimous 6-man jury adequately protects those features.
Well, if the 6-man jury is all right, in terms of just the cross-section, there was a 6-man jury here.
There was, Your Honor.
And so there was a jury. And in terms of deliberation, would you say that if there's a split vote, it indicates more deliberation or less?
It indicates less deliberation, Your Honor.
Why, if there's a split vote?
Well, I believe that some of the sociological studies indicated in the Ballard decision indicate that if there is a split vote, so that only a majority is required, or a percentage, but not a unanimous vote, then there's less deliberation as far as time is concerned than there ordinarily would be.
Well, at least, but the people, the 5 here have at least had to face up to a dissenting vote, haven't they?
Yes, sir. They have.
Well, 5 of them just... could say, let's say it was a Negro defendant, and there one of the 6 jurors was a Negro. The 5 others could just say, well, you go over there and play solitaire in the corner, and we'll decide this case.
That's our argument, Your Honor. We submit that that is correct.
But you don't suggest that's present in this case, do you?
We don't know what happened in the jury room in this case, Your Honor.
So you're not suggesting any hypothesis about that?
We're not suggesting any hypothesis about that.
Now, on that point that you were discussing with Mr. Justice White, when I was in law school, it was common for the lecturer to say the divided court opinion carries more weight than a unanimous opinion of a multi-judge court, whether it was 3 on the Court of Appeals or 9 here, because that showed that the issue was contested right to the end of the line. How do you square that with the sociological studies? I suppose each of them has about the same value, perhaps. But this was the wisdom of lawyers and law teachers until at least a few years ago.
Well, of course, Your Honor, we have no way of knowing exactly what goes on in the jury room. But
nor what goes on in the conference room of a court of appeals or a state supreme court.
Yes, sir. But it would seem logical to me that a jury, which requires only 5 out of 6, would not have the vigorous debate that a jury would have if all 6 members were required to bring back a verdict. I think some of these sociological studies have indicated that in cases where a non-unanimous jury was the one in question, the time that they stayed out was less.
Those are the same sociological studies that said a jury of less than 12 was bad because it reduced the chances of an acquittal.
Yes, sir.
And by the same token, a jury of 24, 36 or 48 would cut the other way, wouldn't it?
Those are the same studies, Your Honor. No. Our position here is that you have said in Ballou that five men are not adequate to represent a cross-section of the community and to give adequate deliberation in a jury room.
That's, now, if they're all alone, if they don't have a...
Yes,
if they're
all
have
alone,
a number
that's
six
correct.
There.
Yes, sir. Now, our position is that by merely adding another individual to that jury who does not, whose vote is not required in order to bring back a verdict, you have not essentially changed the nature of that jury. It still remains essentially a Ballou jury. And in some respects, it's even worse. One of the points made by Mr. Justice Blackmun in the Ballou decision was that the smaller jury resulted in less hung jury, which ordinarily inures to the benefit of the accused. Now, of course, in our situation where you have 5 out of 6, as contrasted with 5 out of 5, you're likely to have even fewer hung juries. Therefore, it's even more to the detriment of the defendant.
Mr. Peebles, I have a lot of problem with this cross-section jury. How many would you need in New York City?
How many would we need in order to have an adequate
cross-section of Manhattan? About 1,000, wouldn't you?
Well, it would be, that would be the perfect ideal, I suppose, sir. This court has said that 6 is adequate.
Yeah.
In Williams versus Florida.
I'm trying to keep it not... Re-arguing that one.
The court has said that, and we don't quarrel with that position. The question is that the absolute minimum required so that no change can be made which would reduce the potential for deliberation and cross-section?
Well, your argument is that if you buy 6, you mean 6 unanimous.
Yes, that's correct.
That's your point.
That's right.
Of course, all a court can do is deal with the system, with the rule. You can't deal with individual jurors.
Yes,
even with a 12-member unanimous jury, you might have 12 peas in a pod.
That's correct.
On any particular jury and no cross-section at all.
That's correct, sir.
But one deals with the system.
That's correct. In reducing the jury to 6, you have really gotten, we suggest, to the very minimum that you could have by way of cross-section, as was pointed out in the Ballou decision. If you have a segment of 10% of the community, which represents a particular viewpoint, and you only have a 6-man jury, then statistically, on the average, more than half of the juries you select will not have any representatives of that 10% viewpoint. Now, the court has held that 6 out of 6 is constitutional, but if you add to that the factor that not all 6 votes are required in order to bring back a verdict, we submit that if then there is any legitimacy to the argument that 5 jurors may be less than fully impressed with the argument of that 6th juror, then you have gone below the line of that which is constitutional.
Do you relate this to the burden of proof in criminal cases as distinguished from the burden of proof in civil cases?
I would, Your Honor. I think that would be
most logical. Of the states permit a 5/6 verdict in civil cases, do they not, after... sometimes after a certain lapse of time?
Well, I'm not familiar with any courts which do that. That may be the case. I don't think there are any other courts which permit it in criminal cases other than Louisiana. We would also suggest that there is no legitimate state interest which would validate their reducing the number of jurors required to convict to below 6. As the court has said in the Ballou decision, if such an interest did exist, then of course there would be maybe argument or reason for permitting this 5 out of 6 model. However, the only results here that might inure to the benefit of the state would be the reduced time required for jury deliberations and the reduced number of hung juries.
Well, isn't there some interest, too, on the part of the state in not taking people away from gainful employment in order to serve as jurors if they can get by with less?
Well, I think that is a legitimate reason, but we're suggesting simply that type of reason, which I think is essentially the same as the argument I suggested that it would reduce the deliberation time. Same kind of thing. It's simply counterbalanced by the fact that you are reducing the very nature of the jury beyond that which people commonly conceive to be a jury. It's something less than a jury, we would suggest.
How is that state interest served by removing a requirement of unanimity? I don't quite understand.
Oh, it does not. I understood from Mr. Justice Rehnquist that he was speaking of the six-man jury.
Oh.
It would not affect this situation because we still have to have six people there.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what. And they have to be paid. Presumably, they would not hang as often, and they would be out for shorter periods of time. We suggest that these are simply not sufficient reasons for the state to that would counterbalance the what we think are the grave problems that would be presented with this type of jury. The statistics have shown that, and as indicated in footnote 10 of Ballew, that with a 12-man jury, you have juries that hang if the 12 men are required to come back unanimously about 5% of the time. If you reduce that same panel to six with a unanimous return, you have about half that number of juries that will hang. Well, now, if you still then go further and eliminate one of those jurors as a mandatory vote, I would suggest that you have practically eliminated the hung jury in our system. And given our values that we would rather see 10 guilty men go free than convict one innocent man, I would suggest that the hung jury has its place.
Well, as a mathematical proposition, a hung jury can be of benefit to a defendant on a 5-to-1 basis, just as sure, 4-to-2 basis, just as surely as it can be to the prosecution.
That is correct, Your Honor. In that regard, we would call the court's attention to the fact that, as Professor Zeisel, I believe, has pointed out, in this was quoted in the Ballew decision, the average juror has a propensity to convict. So that although that's mathematically correct, it would not probably result that way. Most juries that are hung in favor of, most votes in favor of conviction, but with one or two holding out for not guilty. I believe the statistics would show that. Yes, Your Honor.
This is an unfair question, and I hope it hasn't been asked when I was out of the room. Suppose the Louisiana statute provided for a 7-man jury, and the vote was 6-to-1. Do you think under the result in Ballew that conviction would hold up constitutionally?
That would be a closer question, Your Honor. I would suggest that it would not. Quite frankly, you've asked my impression. My impression is that if you get any further away from what has been considered the classical jury system, 12 out of 12, you are reducing the protection below the constitutional minimum. And I would say that anything that does not require a unanimous jury below six would not be constitutional. Well, the court has held that is constitutional.
Yeah.
But you have more total members there of the jury. If I may address myself to that point, Your Honor, these studies have shown that when you have as many as 12 jurors and you have a minority of two or three, they're much more likely to maintain their minority viewpoint in the course of deliberations than you are if you have a very small jury of about six, where perhaps only one has a minority view. He's much more likely to be, as a result of the conformity pressures on him, to give up his views. So that it's entirely likely that although 9 out of 12 is in Johnson versus Louisiana, or 10 out of 12 is in Apodaca versus Oregon, 11 out of 12? Well, the court has held that that's legitimate and that's constitutional. But you have enough jurors there so that if you do have a minority of two or three, they can still work together and hold out for this minority viewpoint. If you reduce that down to as low as six, however, then, and you only have one minority member, we submit that he is much more likely to give in, and thus the panel loses.
In Ballew, many members of the court weren't very impressed with what they called the numerology of the studies.
Yes, Your Honor.
I suppose they're less impressed here.
Well?
See, Ballou wasn't a court opinion.
Yes.
It was a court judgment.
It was the court judgment, yes, sir. There were a number of opinions in that court. And I recognize the fact that the members of the court differ over the approach in Ballou. I thought I should address myself to it because it certainly was there, and as Your Honor has said, if you don't rely to some extent on the social studies, then you come close to just using judicial hunch, and if you're not going to rely on history, or at least if you conclude that history is not going to give us the final answer as to what this jury...
Mr. Peebles, I'm not being critical because, as you know, in what was written in Ballou, at least, I gave substantial weight to the studies.
Yes, Your Honor.
But not everybody was in agreement.
Yes, Your Honor. We would hope that the court would review the question of the history of the jury system, which it held not to be controlling in the Williams decision and subsequently in Apodaca. The amicus brief in this case has presented even further evidence with regard to the intent of the framers of the Sixth Amendment, which the court may wish to consider. I do not think that a review of that question is mandatory to a favorable decision for the petitioner Birch in this case. But we would certainly have no objection to the court considering it. If the court has no further questions, that will conclude my argument.
Very well.
Thank you.
Mrs. Carnes?
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Of course, it's the state of Louisiana's position in this case that because this court approved a six-man jury in Williams versus Florida, and majority verdicts when a substantial number of the jurors agree in Apodaca versus Oregon and Johnson versus Louisiana, that a 5 out of 6 jury verdict is constitutionally unassailable. Under all the reasons brought forward by this court in Williams and Apodaca and Johnson.
On that your is, reasoning, then, 4 out of 7 would be unassailable, too.
There we get to the slippery slope argument.
Well, you said since we've approved a 6-member jury, then I force your eye, we would have approved a 7-member jury.
I don't...
If that's all it is, just the numbers, then 4 out of 7 would, as I understand your position.
Well, our position, Your Honor, is anchored right on this case. We have a 6-member jury, and 5 of them brought back a verdict, and that the defense in this case made no attempt. I'd like to jump to an argument that was made during my predecessor's argument, where it appeared that the two horns of the dilemma were social studies on one side, judicial hunch on the other. It's the state of Louisiana's position that there's a third position, and it's the only valuable position. That is actual court studies which take place not grabbing 15 cases here or something, but with all the computers and everything available today, it would be not impossible and not all that difficult to actually put into the computer every majority verdict case in Louisiana, compare it to a like number of cases in other unanimous jurisdictions. This has never been done, although this court suggested in Johnson versus Louisiana that until such evidence was presented, it was not going to set aside the will of the Louisiana legislature in its presumption that a majority verdict was perfectly constitutional. Now, I'd like to point out to Mr. Justice Blackmun, I think he'll be particularly interested in this, and I was particularly interested in it because of his reliance on empirical data in Ballou. And I point out in my brief that the data is sort of divided, not completely, but in general, that on the scene, actual life studies of these majority verdict or smaller juries, judicial proceedings, favor the actual in-place studies generally favor these smaller juries and these majority verdicts, where the mock juries and deductive modeling ones generally tend to disfavor them. I'd like to point out that coming right out right now are articles by Professor Bernard Grossman, Associate Professor of Social Sciences at the University of California at Irvine, He's brought one out at the end of last year, the case for statistics for majority verdicts. He's bringing one out right now. By the way, I'll just put in parentheses, he's being funded in this by the National Science Foundation. It's Social Sciences and Law Program. He's been funded in this. He's brought out the case for statistical verdicts, for majority verdicts, the statistical case for majority verdicts, and two other articles which he has sent to this court, apparently. But anyway, the state of Louisiana does not want the court to rely on this, but just merely points out that these statistical data professors are sharply divided. Professor Stuart Nagel will tell you by all kind of formulas that this long and X's and parentheses that the chances of convicting an innocent person increase as you get 5 out of 6, whereas Professor Bernard Grofman will tell you by the other formulas, equally long and complicated, that his position that he urges in these articles, and it's surprising in a way because it's counterintuitive, is that a 6-member majority verdict jury is more likely to protect the innocent than a 12-member unanimous verdict jury. Now, I'm not telling this court this because I urge them to rely on this. I'm just telling them this to show them that the disarray that exists among these theoretical thinkers on the subject. And our position is, if the National Science Foundation can fund a statistical research program like this, why can't they fund an actual in-place study of what actually happens in Louisiana under the majority verdict system that'll go on for maybe 3 or 4 years and collect actual hard figures so that we'll no longer be speculating about what happens, but we'll see what happens. But
are you saying, I just want to be sure I understand, I haven't read that particular study, but
just coming out.
It suggests that it's easier for the prosecutor to get a conviction when he has to convince 12 people to agree unanimously than it is to convince a majority of 6 persons?
Yeah, Anna, I'm just telling you what Professor Bernard Grofman's article, it's one of the things that he proves with these formulas, that he advances, he concludes. Thus, it's shown that, first of all, I have to admit, in all honesty, that he prefers a 12-man jury to a 6-man jury. But his proposition is that if this court finds a certain group of people constitutionally adequate, a 6-man jury like in Williams versus Florida, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with a majority verdict. He even goes so far as to advocate a simple majority. Simple majority.
Well, but is he advocating it on the ground that it is harder to persuade a majority of 6 to convict than it is to persuade all 12 of a 12-man jury to convict?
Apparently he is, Yana, but I don't understand all these
problems. Did you support that argument?
Yana,
I don't know this man.
I don't understand these mathematical
formulas,
to tell you the truth. I know I don't have any mathematical background, and all of these articles are Greek to me as far as their underlying reasoning goes.
I think maybe the term numerology may apply to what he wrote rather than what Mr. Justice Blackmun wrote.
I just cite this to this court, as I say, because his professor, Stuart Nagel, I beg your pardon?
It may be that a prosecutor in the jurisdiction that he studied doesn't bring a case for violation of the misdemeanors that have 6-man juries unless the proof of guilt is overwhelming.
Does
bring felony prosecutions if there's probable cause to bring the prosecution before a 12-member jury. There are all sorts of facts that could skew those.
Right. I think, Mr. Justice, I think he's working, though, not on actual court studies at all. That's what I'm telling you. This is one of those fanciful things. He's working on figures that he gleans, just like Professor Stuart Nagel does, from Zeisel and, forgotten it, Calvin and Zeisel. That's what all these other people did, taking these figures out of that, then getting their computers out and working out all these forms. But anyway, as I say, I just mentioned it to this court because I think particularly Mr. Justice Blackmun would be interested in these articles because they're coming right out of the University of California and they're right on this point. But fortunately for us, they're on our side this time. Anyway, the state's whole position is in this case, state of Louisiana's whole position in this case, of course, is that under Williams and under Johnson and Apodaca, a 5 out of 6 jury is perfectly constitutional. we feel that if any kind of data are going to be used against our position, we feel that at least these experts ought to be put on the witness stand in the trial court, qualified as experts, like a doctor or anybody who's going to testify about insanity, give testimony the same kind as they write in these articles, and be subjected to cross-examination on conflicting articles, just like a psychiatrist is when he gets up and testifies about insanity. We feel that if Louisiana's majority verdict is going to be thrown aside, it ought to be on concrete evidence showing that unfairness is results, and not on speculation, which is just in the realm of very interesting theories, but which have never been...
Mr. Corn, is it speculation? I mean, do you contend it would be speculation that it would be harder to persuade 5 out of 5 to convict than it would be to persuade 5 out of 6 to convict? Is that just speculation, or doesn't it seem rather obvious?
Our position is that in a 5 out of 6 jury, Justice Stevens, which is what we have here, this jury would have reached unanimity 95% of the time. In other words...
But they didn't this time, though.
They didn't this time, but if a six-man jury, if a six-man jury had to be unanimous, they're going to become unanimous 95% of the
right.
time. And once the vote reaches 1 to 5, the one is not going to turn around the 5. So all he's going to get is a 5% chance of a hung jury, and the state can try him again and have just as good, a very high chance. So what is he losing, really?
Well, that really doesn't respond to my question. My question is to compare the requirement of unanimity in a 5-man jury, which the court has held is not enough.
Right.
With the requirement of getting 5 out of 6 to convict.
Oh, I understand.
Would you not agree
right.
that it's
yeah.
easier to get
in
5
words,
out of 6 than it is...
In other words, why, if blue is no good, aren't
question.
We any good?
Is right. it not? Would you not agree that it's easier to get 5 out of 6 to convict than it is to get 5 out of 5 to convict?
Your Honor, I'm going to avoid that question because I don't think that's the issue. The issue is
well,
one...
I think it is,
is the
and I'd like
to answer panel. The issue we think is the 6-man panel valid as a cross-section of the community, as a protection against tyranny, as so and so, which this court not only found in Williams, but upheld and reaffirmed in Ballew.
Well, I understand. You just don't want to answer my question, then. I don't suppose the answer
we
to
rely,
that's probably why.
We rely on Apodaca versus Oregon and Johnson versus Louisiana. And when the present Louisiana Constitution
which
was
Which cases wrong, do not answer my question?
Whether it's...
I'm just asking you whether you think we need statistics to demonstrate what I regard as a rather obvious proposition, that it would be harder to persuade 5 out of 5 to convict than it would be to persuade 5 out of 6 to convict.
Yes, but this court didn't strike down the 5 out of 5 jury on that basis. It struck it down because it wasn't a fair cross-section of the community.
Well...
That when you get below 6, you so, respectfully, I don't think that's an issue here. Because of the reasons of striking down Ballew are not here. This court said in Ballew, you've got to draw the line somewhere, and we draw it at 6. And we reaffirm our holding in Williams, and a 6-man jury gives a sufficient cross-section of the population, provides a bulwark against tyranny.
Then your argument, Mrs. Corn, you say my question is totally irrelevant to that analysis, but under your analysis then, 4 out of 6 would also be adequate.
Exactly right.
Because you still have your 6 people. In
of
fact,
course,
3 out of 6 would
of
be
course,
adequate.
Of course, in Williams, this court said the whole argument was, how far down are we going to go?
In fact, I don't know why, under your analysis, you couldn't have a jury that said, if any one of the 6 believes he's guilty, that's enough.
Well, even Scotland from time immemorial has had a bare majority verdict. And, as I say, there are people who argue, like this Professor Grofman, that once the jury has swung to a bare majority, the chances that it's going to go back are so infinitesimal that you may as well come out then. I don't take any position on that because that's not my case. And in Williams, I think members of this court asked, how far down are we going to go? And the answer in that case was, we'll stop it sometime. And in Ballew, this court stopped it. Now, I don't think it's, frankly, a question here that if you uphold 5 out of 6, that you're going to have to... I mean, it's clear from Ballew, where you drew the line under Williams, that if you uphold 5 out of 6, it doesn't mean at all that you have to uphold anything more under that. And having upheld 10 out of 12 in Apodaca. 5 out of 6 is just half of it, and even I can understand that.
Well, then 2 out of 3 would be even better.
Well, this court has said you can't go below 6. So obviously we're not going to get below 6.
Well, now you're at 5 in your state.
No, Your Honor, we have 6. 5 out of 6. Well, I mean, we have to have a 6-man jury.
That's all Ballew decided was the total
right.
number.
The total number. And reaffirmed Williams many times. Mr. Justice Blackmun said, we reaffirm everything we said in Williams, as far as it being 6 being enough, and 6 serving all these important constitutional functions of a jury.
Well, if the vote of one of them doesn't count, it isn't 6, is it, even though that person may be sitting in the box?
I'd like to point out in this case that obviously the vote of one did count, and he was listened to, because the jury deliberated for 50 minutes. It was unanimous for the corporation, and 5-1 for Birch. Now, those very facts show that the juror's one vote did count. He voted one way in one and one the other. And it's really, I mean, it's obvious just from those facts that they listened to him, that he voted one way in one and one the other, and that his that he never would have turned around the other 5 in the Birch case.
Mrs. Corns, you missed an opportunity to point out that this court allows dissenting opinions and dissenting votes, but we count them anyway.
No doubt about that. Absolutely.
Like all the people who voted for Alf Landon in 1936, their votes were counted, but Franklin D. Roosevelt was president.
Well, if this court, members of this court, don't have any further questions, I'll submit the matter, Your Honor.
Mr. Corns, I might say this. You mentioned a little while ago that 95% of your cases are unanimous.
No, I said that both Professor Nagel and Calvin and Zeisler, everybody agreed that
I'm talking about Louisiana's experience, that 95% of your 6-man jury come in. What is the percentage?
Nobody has ever kept. That's my very point, John.
Well, in any event, certainly some of them that come in with a 5-1 conviction vote, if you had a unanimity requirement, might come in with a unanimous vote.
Oh, 95% of the time they would, under general rules of way juries behave.
Because once you get to 5-1, it's all over with.
And the others tired of listening to it, and they either bully or persuade the other person to give in, just like in the old days, they wouldn't give them any light or heat or food, and they dragged them from carts from one town to the other until finally
they all do this in Louisiana, do they?
We'd like to, I think, Your Honor, but we can't. Thank you, Your Honor.
Do you have anything further, Mr. Peebles?
Not unless the court has any questions, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted. We'll hear arguments next.